In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we read from 1 Corinthians about how God has blessed us all with a multitude of different gifts. Gifts of wisdom and healing and prophecy and teaching and more. St. Paul tells us that these gifts are not given to us for our benefit alone. They have been given to us for the benefit of the community, for the benefit of everyone, this living body of Jesus Christ. This week, our reading goes on to describe to us the very nature of that community, of the living body that we are all a part of. By using the image of an actual physical body, Paul describes how, even though we are many and individuals, we are all a part of and make up the body. Just as a hand or a foot are individual parts, they belong to and are connected to the other and to the rest of the body. In this vision, all of the members are of equal value and worth. All are necessary. Remove a part of the body, and the body becomes incomplete. Something essential is missing. It's a beautiful image. Now, when I was reading this passage over the course of the week, I kept having this vague image of it in my mind. I could remember hearing and seeing these words spoken before in a dramatic way, but could not place it. It was like having something on the tip of your tongue, but this was like having something on the tip of my memory, and I could not place it. Eventually, I remembered what it was. It was a scene from one of my favorite television shows, Deadwood. Now, I should say right off the bat that Deadwood was a show that was on HBO, so its language is a little blue and not for the faint of heart if you go seeking it out. But the roughness of this language fits because Deadwood is a Western. It's about a camp that formed before the territory it was on was ever ceded to any state in the Union. The settlement had no legal status. Every man and woman who had come there were looking to make their fortune in the gold that was found in the Dakota Hills and to hopefully be on the ground floor of what they hoped would one day be a prosperous town in the United States. The scene I kept remembering was a funeral from the first season. A famous gunslinger, Wild Bill Hickok, had been gunned down, shot in the back by a coward. The crowd that had assembled was a bit of a hodgepodge. Some are onlookers who want to see this famous man be put to rest. Others are his longtime friends, and others newly formed friends he made in the camp. The reverend leading the service is like the rest of the camp's residents. Having been unable to find his place in the rest of the country, he has come to this stateless and lawless place, hoping to find his way. He reads our same reading as today from 1 Corinthians, and he reflects on it with these words. Mr. Hickok will lay beside two brothers, one he likely killed and the other he killed for certain. And he has now been killed in turn. So much blood. And on the battlefield of the brothers' war, I saw more blood than this. St. Paul tells us that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one to another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. I believe in God's purpose, not knowing it. I ask him, moving in me, to allow me to see his will. I ask him, moving in others, to allow them to see it. This sermon is addressed to the assembled crowd, but there is one listener the preacher wishes to reach. Seth Bullock, a new friend of Wild Bill Hickok. He is bent on seeking revenge for this murder. It is visibly consuming him. As the sermon goes on, his rage can clearly be seen building. These are the last words he wants to hear about how we need to take care of one another, about how God moves through us and through others, about being part of the same body as the man who just shot his friend. But these are the words he needed to hear. In a later episode, he tracks down that coward, and instead of taking out his vengeance on him, he captures him and takes him back into the United States where he can stand trial for his crimes. What has stayed with me about this scene and the show in general is this idea about what makes up a community. These people are not under the protection or the punishment of any state or federal law. In a very real way, we can say that they are outside the boundaries of normal civilization. And still, they need to find a way to live with one another. They need to find a way to build a community that can be sustained and thrive. I think what they discover is that if you strip away the laws of man, with its officers and judges, its rules and order, what they discovered is that there is a deeper and larger truth. They discovered that they needed one another, each one a vital part of the body. Each one created by God, each one loved by God, each one saved and redeemed by God. Strip a community down to its bare essence, and this is what you discover. It's what we encounter here every week. This table is meant for the entire living body of Christ to gather around it. This table shows us what is the foundation, what is the heart of our community. Each of us called individually by God, but each of us gathering around this table together with the rest of the body. Remove any one of us and something vital, something essential is missing. Now, we are often given reasons not to bring the entire body together. Different qualifiers are used to separate us. Age, race, gender, class, politics. But any and all of those things have no currency at this table. What matters here is that you were created by God, you are loved by God, and you have been redeemed and saved by God. It is this fact that binds us into one. Each of us is needed. Bound together, God has created us into a beautiful living body. You are needed in this body because God created you. God loves you, and God redeemed and saved you. Amen.